What's kicking chickens? Hey guys, welcome back to Can We Fix It? I am your host, as always, Maura Walsh, joined by my delightful co-host, Jennifer the Vulpinator Douglas. How you doing, lady?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know, ruining lives, blowing things up, doing my Mary.
I want to talk a second about your opening. What was that? Do you sing that often?
That is how I greet my children in the morning when I have them for classrooms. Because what's kicking chickens? My first graders always say, "I'm not a chicken." But everybody else just, you know, kind of rolls their eyes and goes along with it because they know that Miss Walsh lets her freak flag fly.
I love it.
A lot of it.
Happy teacher in the morning.
I know. I was talking to one of the other subs today about how, like, this is the first job I've ever had where I wake up in the morning and, like, yeah, getting out of bed sucks. Like, that always sucks. But, like,
right.
I'm never like, ugh, I have to go to work. I'm always like, oh, I wonder what class I have today. Oh, I hope it's this one. Like, I fucking love my job. And the fact that I get to say that is a privilege and a half. I love these kids. And the reason I started doing What's Kicking Chickens is because I say guys a lot and my children are very fucking woke and they will look at me and they will say, "Miss Walsh, that's not a gender neutral term. We're not all guys." And usually it's one of the boys. And it's like so ingrained in me that like, I have to start over with something entirely new. Because as a New Englander, guys has honestly, even bro. I use bro interchangeably.
yes, I've used guys forever, and I'm trying to stop.
I'm trying to switch it to folks, but I also feel like I feel weird saying folks. I'm like, "Hey, folks, how's it going, folks?" It's with an
F. I use all a lot. I'll say, "Hey all, hey everyone."
Yeah,
We need something more perky. I think chickens might be it.
I know. It is a personal favorite of mine. And with my son, it's "What's up, chicken butt?" But I feel like that's probably not appropriate for school.
Not for school.
So we have a mostly political dessert episode for you today, guys. Shit is about to toe pop off. If you thought that Jen and I were not going to talk about the Providence toe-popping incident, you were fucking wrong, and you don't know us very well. So, for those of you who are not caught up on the saga, Providence Superintendent Harrison Peters is in some pretty hot water right now, because he hired a gentleman who he worked with in Florida, right? It's not like he like didn't know this dude.
I mean, he admitted the other day, "I thought I knew this guy. You know, I knew him." So yeah, they knew him.
And I'm trying to find the guys. Dr. Allegi. So for hiring Dr. Allegi to be, you know, one of the higher up principals in the Providence school system. He was overseeing middle and high school principals in Providence and was never charged in connection with the previous incidents. So basically what happened is Harrison Peters brought his weird foot fetish friend up from Florida that had a lot of F's in it, not on purpose. And in Florida, the man was accused of using a strange practice in order to discipline children that he called toe popping. Where he would take off a student's shoe and sock and pull on their toe until it popped. You know, like how you crack your toe knuckles or your finger knuckles or whatever.
So weird. It's so bizarre.
And this toe popping story has been around, right? Like, it's not like we all just found this out. Like, we had a whole laugh about it, you know, however many fucking months ago when this guy was first hired. And we were like, what's toe popping and why? And why is it so funny and weird? So home dude was like toe popping in Florida doing his thing. I just want to make that like a colloquialism now. Like, I want to be like, "What are you doing this week?" Like, just, you know, toe popping, chilling.
You know, what's hopping, toe popping? You know, let's make a phrase out of it.
It just rolls right off the tongue. So
it really does. Full disclosure, every text I've sent to Maura the past 5 days has been toe popping based, so we're using it quite a lot.
It's very catchy. What's toe popping right now, lady? So He brought this guy up from Florida, and when this story originally emerged, he said something along the lines of, like, you know, he was a young teacher. He would never do that now. He was, you know, testing out his authority and, like, ways to discipline kids or whatever. And even reading that, I remember being like, that's a fucking weird, that's a weird way to do that. Like, I had a piano teacher who used to use the musical note pointer to, like, smack me in the knuckle if I got the note wrong. That's normal. My hands were right there. He was pointing at a note. That's like a normal leap for a person to make. Be like, I am going to wrap their knuckle, the thing that messed up. I don't know how the fuck you get from bullying to take off your shoes and socks. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Like, that is several leaps. Okay. So already I was like, I don't know about all that. And of course, with all Rhode Island stories, just wait a while and it'll come back around. Within the last couple of weeks, home dude was charged, or he was picked up by the police, at a Warwick gym for, quote, forcibly massaging a teenage boy's foot. Weirdest combination of words ever. Put just into ever. A sentence. I'm about to share something with you guys that's like deeply personal and one of my greatest shames in my life. And I'm sure that this is going to go phenomenally. I was once dating a dude who had a foot fetish, unbeknownst to me. And after we'd been dating for like an appropriate amount of time, he let me know that he had a foot fetish and asked me to take off my shoe. I had flats on, so it wasn't like a whole, you know, Dr. Allegi process, but and I took off my shoe and he looked at my foot and he went, okay, you can put your shoe back on. And I was like, fucking ow. Oh my God. How hideous are my alien toes that a foot fetishist is like, nah, I'm all set.
Don't feel bad. He's just got like a niche foot fetish.
But wait. Now we find out in this story that Dr. Allegi took a motherfucker's shoe and sock off at the gym, not in the locker room before they started working out, like in the middle, like he wanted to get at like these sweaty teenage toes and just pop them bad boys. He couldn't stop himself. And as selfish as it is, I think back and I go like, holy shit, my feet must be a nightmare, huh?
I've never seen your feet. They might be. I'm not sure.
I know. Now I have a complex, you guys, because this dude needed these teenager feet so bad that he was like, you've been running 3 miles. You know what? I'll risk it.
Okay, so what I think we need to do is, I think, A, you need to take a picture of your foot right now and text it to me. So what the foot looks like. And B,
I want to find the world's weirdest foot online.
Needs to be the header on our podcast.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing about my feet. They are perfectly normal looking. It is the size and proportion that is just wildly alarming. I am 5'6".
Except for everything about them.
I'm 5'6", and I have a size 10.5, 11.
Oh, so they're longer feet.
And they are they're double A. So they are skis. They are very long, skinny little flippers. Like if I went scuba diving, I wouldn't need to rent. I could just use my own feet as my flippers.
Okay, well, I think that might be a little disconcerting at first. I truly think that he should have pursued, you know.
I'm glad he didn't. Also,
to see if he could grow into it.
Also, to the patrons, you're fucking welcome, guys. You're welcome for a full toe popping episode. You knew we were gonna go.
I'm really sorry you're paying for this right now. This is terrible.
No, this is amazing. Fuck you. This is amazing. How dare you? I think we gotta just dive in feet first, you know, and just go full steam ahead on this. And of course, Jen, do you have the comments up? Should I get them?
Yes.
You have them up for me. So I'm going to introduce you, Tim. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. My buddy, Tim Clarkin, is the world's greatest Facebook commenter of all time and went full Wes Welker on it. And on the article about Superintendent Peters having hired this weird freaky foot fetishist, Why don't we go one for one? Tim Clarkin starts with, good job really holding his feet to the fire on this one.
And then he bears sole responsibility for this hire.
If he can't get his people to toe the line, he must admit defeat.
And then Dan McGowan chimes in with, you're a delightfully evil person, which is pretty funny.
To which Tim says, I try to put my best foot forward.
We have a couple of good ones underneath it too, not from Tim, one from someone named Aaron who says, I hope they don't drag their feet dismissing him. Right on, Aaron.
We've got another. There was definitely something afoot. Oh God. Oh, this is a good one. They really rubbed me the wrong way. What was yours?
It was, I appreciate you being one of his foot soldiers. It's courageous.
I like, they really rubbed me the wrong way.
I'm not getting it. Apparently his recommended hires can't toe the line.
Amazing. I wanted to make a should have hired his arch enemy comment, but I thought it was too corny. Gotta love it, guys. This episode is nothing but political dessert. We have nothing of import to tell you. We are not here to let you know about important bills. We are here to be the 7-year-old boys that Jen and I inherently are and giggle and make foot jokes because this is our best life, you guys.
And then I do want to chime in and on a more somber note, what has happened here with him? It is... We're laughing about it being toe popping, but we have to remember this is such a violation of children. This man is touching kids without their consent. You know, they're not saying, oh, sure, sir, take off my shoes. He's touching these kids without their consent. It is a huge violation. It is appalling that we even are talking about this man still being employed and Harrison Peters says he's not going to resign.
First of all, why
did this happen to? This is fucked up.
Why is it an option for him to resign? Just out of curiosity, right. Why hasn't he been fired? Like, everybody's like, oh, he should resign. He's resigned. I was like, no. Who's his boss? And why has he not been fired? Like, how fucking low are our standards that we can hire a guy who admittedly, like, the thing was from 2009 and he worked with this guy back in Florida. So like he fucking knew, you know what I mean? If he knew it happened once, you got to assume it's going to happen again. And like Jen and I were talking before the recording about like these poor fucking teenagers, right? Because I, as a 30-year-old woman, don't know what the appropriate reaction would be for me to have if I were like benching weights at the gym or something and some dude just like forcibly took off my sock and shoe. Like, it for sure is a violation, but I'm like, I don't know how dirty I'm supposed to feel. Like, I feel dirty, but I don't know I'm a grown woman and I cannot think of what the appropriate, like, emotional response to that is.
Right.
Like, was I assaulted or was I violated? Right.
I can't imagine a little kid, a middle schooler being violated like that. And then knowing how to even carry the feelings that accompany it.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, I don't have the fucking emotional tools for that. These poor 12-year-olds, like, can you imagine going to your best friend and be like, I guess we're going to play a game of good news, bad news? Like, I don't know how this goes. Like, bad news is the teacher touched me. Good news is it was just my feet. I don't know if that's good news or not, but like as a sexual assault survivor, obviously I would much prefer a forcible foot rub than rape, like just on a personal level, but I still wouldn't want one. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot to put on like little tiny brains that are like just learning how to like use their bodies functionally. Like, my 12-year-olds have just figured out how to run without tripping over their own feet. Like,
right. And this is like the time too, like you teach them all through elementary school about good touches and bad touches and who can touch you and who cannot and tell somebody if they touch you.
And now we're going to add feet.
But nobody ever talks about, you know, different levels of abuse and violation. And now this is just, I don't know. I'm so disgusted and horrified by this. I really am. Shame on everyone that had a part in this and hiring him and bringing him here and for not speaking out and not doing their homework. You know, a year ago when this guy was hired, I remember people on Twitter being like, you know, this guy's got some background. And like you said, we laughed about it, but we knew something bad was going to happen. It was not appropriate. And here we are.
And
now
the Rhode Island
kids,
the Rhode Island incest machine being what it is. Do you know who his lawyer is?
Oh, no.
Representative Joseph Solomon. Dope, dope, dope.
I don't know him at all. I feel like it's gross.
Also, homie pleaded not guilty. And I'm like, bro, you're on camera like that. You gotta know.
Oh, I missed that tidbit. It was on camera?
Yes, it was in a fucking gym, dude.
I didn't know if somebody just reported it. I can't believe I've read a bunch of articles too, including the Globe one, and it never sunk in that it was on camera.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it was even the kid said, yes, please rub my feet, I have a cramp. It's just
No, it deliberately says forcibly massaged.
Exactly. So it's probably pretty obvious on video then, you know, how it all went down.
And here's what Peter said. I feel strongly about not resigning. This is hard for me. I am perfectly imperfect. I make tons of decisions every day. I got this one wrong. Fuck you, Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't need a fucking like goop wall plaque. I need some accountability. I am perfectly imperfect. Eat a whole bag of dicks, sir. Whole bag. What a fucking asshole.
Under your care, under your supervision. It's on you. It's not being perfectly imperfect if people are being harmed because of your actions in hiring him.
This is a very good point that's made in the Boston Globe article. There's going to be a lot of debate in the coming weeks about whether Peter should be shown the door or if firing him based on someone else's conduct is an overreach. But what is clear is this incident needs to serve as a final warning for the superintendent. Peter's contract calls for him to receive a performance review on an annual basis, and he's eligible for pay raises at the discretion of Angelica Infante Green. Since that review hasn't happened yet, you know, we have to kind of wait to see what things are going to look like. But it does rack up the facts, right? So district relationships mm-hmm. with teachers has deteriorated beyond repair. The teachers in the district are no closer to a new contract. The only wins so far are the district's lawyers who are racking up billable hours during every half-hearted negotiation session.
Yep.
Adding insult to injury, Senate Majority Whip Mary Ellen Goodwin, and several state senators on Thursday called for an oversight hearing into the district's hiring of Alleggi. It's a good idea because there has been very little oversight over the takeover, especially since the school board and city councilor were stripped of their authorities. Rough fucking hit, fam. Fucking hit.
It's a bad one.
He was aware of the toe-popping claims in Florida and moved to hire Alleggi anyway. Oh, good God. It's a nightmare, you guys. It's a nightmare. But there's one of the bright spots of having this show, right, is that, as my dad said, it's like shining a flashlight on a room of cockroaches. Light is always good. And we joke around about, you know, being very important and influential. But the reality is you guys, the listeners, the constituents, the voters, you're the ones who are important and influential. And we find that when we give you the information that you need, you tend to get your shit together and get it done. We have had several bills that we talked about on the show as being bad fucking bills, not just get changed, but some were removed from the schedule. And you don't know what a huge deal that is. But a lot of these nasty, gross, politically corrupt bills can only be passed if you guys are not paying attention or if you don't know what to pay attention to. And this is why we try to like help you out and give you resources and tools and Twitters to follow and people to listen to get a basic understanding of the kinds of bullshit that they're trying to shove down our throats on a day-to-day basis. Because while they are evil politicians, they are also fucking spineless. And the only time that they have the cojones to do any of this stuff is when we're not looking. So, Superintendent Peters, we're fucking looking, dude. We're looking real hard right now. And we've been looking since coronavirus started, but we had a lot of shit on our plates. You know, what with educating our own children with no help, resources, or guidance. Like, we all had to learn how to do. And we were all perfectly imperfect while we did it. But you know what? We took responsibility. Our kids survived for the most part. Knock on wood. We're not out of the woods yet, but I haven't killed him. And I feel like that was way more likely than him catching COVID. What with us being trapped indoors, just us all day, every day, every day. Yeah. The fact, yeah, we're both alive. I call that a fucking win. So, this is, I mean, as Dan McGowan and the rest of the Boston Globe team said, like, this is the final warning, you know? And I really hope and believe that he's smart enough and capable enough to recognize that his reputation is dead, and he's not going to be able to do good work with all of these defeats hanging defeats. Sorry, 7-year-old hanging around his neck. And so the smartest thing to do would be to resign, because there's no way in which you, reputation-wise, come back from this. The second smartest thing to do would be to get your shit together and fix the school system like you all swore you were capable, competent, and willing to do. I get that COVID put a real strain on things and shined a light on inequities that already existed, but that's a you job. That's not a me job. So fucking fix it, bro. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's time to fix it.
Like, everybody else has found a way to make shit work. You need to stop toe popping off and get it together. So one of the things that, you know, is always disheartening about local government and politics in general is that I feel like the Democrats know that I'm always going to vote for them, and that's why they act like a bunch of assholes. Our producer, Greg, and I had a really interesting conversation about this, about how holding Democrats accountable is good, but sometimes you do have to vote for another party, whether it's Green Party, Independent, whatever, to prove that you mean it when you say that your vote is your currency and you expect these people to earn it as opposed to be given it. And so because I am deeply frustrated with the fucking Democratic Party today, always, I have been, since our last recording, considering joining Rep. Patricia Morgan's Freedom Caucus.
Oh, yeah. I want to get into a Freedom Pod so bad.
Because, like, I just, you know, maybe it's time for a change. And maybe that change is the one woman caucus, which, again, I don't know what that looks like when you're caucusing. She has, actually, you know what? We do know what it looks like, because she has a YouTube video of herself that is, as Jen called it, what did you call it?
It's like a proof of life terrorist video. She's just sitting there in a chair, alone in a room, reading words off a screen.
With her eyes wide and crazy as always.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you have enough voices talking to you, it makes more of a caucus. Maybe in her mind, there's like four people in it already. I don't know.
So, I, first of all, it's an organic organization, which is interesting, because I didn't realize she was a vegan. Just kidding. I know what that means. That will focus on the issues that are important to everyday common sense Rhode Islanders. First of all, I really like that she singled out common sense. She's like, not just everyday Rhode Islanders. Everyday Rhode Islanders hate these ideas. Everyday common sense Rhode Islanders, which I just read as dumb Rhode Islanders, but what the fuck do I know? To kick it off, I've included a few key issues that I have been focused on, including banning critical race theory Stopping School Indoctrination. As we have discussed in previous episodes, I don't understand where white pride went, right? Like, they used to be, that used to be the whole thing, is they were proud of being white, white pride. Now they gotta like skirt this shit in like 45 different ways to be like vague, subtle, and still racist. Like,
right, it's that tell me I'm racist without really saying you're racist,
right? And I don't know, it just feels like maybe you're not that proud of it, you know, if you gotta couch it in those many terms. Banning critical race theory. Stop school indoctrination.
Anti-racist.
Exactly. Anti-racist. Why didn't you just say racist, Patricia? We got it. Responsible election reform. Now, here's where you really want to zoom in and get out your Republican to English translator, okay? Clean up the voter rolls. That is Republican for delete mad Democrats. Voter ID for all ballots. That is Republican for make mail ballots nearly impossible unless you want to what? Fucking mail your license to the BOE and hope they mail it back? I don't think so.
And you know, disenfranchise people who don't have one.
And ban ballot harvesting, which actually is exactly what it says it is. And we have covered ballot harvesting on the pod. Ballot harvesting, for those of you who don't remember, is when you pump up the ballots in a given area and collect them, specifically weeding out the ones that are not helpful to you. Whether that be by refusing to take the ballot and only taking ones that are, or whether that be to actively, you know, hide or dispose of a ballot for another person. There are very crazy and clever ways that people manipulate the mail ballot system. I think that obviously it's something that definitely needs to be looked at. But I don't know how you would outright ban campaigns from encouraging or facilitating absentee ballots. You know what I mean? I just feel like that's would be such a confusing. You'd have to be very careful with the way that you fucking wrote that if you didn't want to fuck voters over, which I imagine the Republicans do. So they would not write it carefully.
Right. They don't care.
And then the next bullet point is a little confusing to me because it's safe neighborhoods, colon, back the blue. And I feel like maybe the cops forgot. It's totally possible that they did. That they already have 80% of every fucking city budget, right? And that there's only so much more money that we could conceivably give them. But they still behave as though we've already defunded and or abolished the police. I don't know about your town, but the cops in my neighborhood have a Twitter. The cops in Providence, rather, have a Twitter where for a while they would like to tweet out crimes that had happened and tag the city council and Jorge Alorza as if to say, this is what happens when there aren't police officers. Except that there fucking are police officers. There are a fuckload of police officers. And all you're proving to me is that you're either ineffective or unnecessary. Am I wrong?
Yeah. I see. This is where, living in Charlestown, we have a police force that runs on kind of a leaner budget, which we're fortunate to have. But they also have a Facebook. And what they do, we get pictures of them moving turtles in the road. We get, if there's a fender bender at the only four corners in town that doesn't have a stoplight, because there's only one stoplight in Charlestown, we'll read about it. But yeah, we don't. And our community's fine and perfectly safe. So maybe we don't need them doing a whole ton of stuff.
The next bullet point is protect the Second Amendment, nice and vague. And then this is the one that I really want to talk about. Border security. Because you know what, Patricia? This is one thing that you and I finally agree on. Okay? Fuck those Massachusetts people. Fuck those Connecticut people. I want more New England border security. I'm tired of seeing all these Massachusetts cars driving in the breakdown lane, 146. No, I agree, Patricia. Border security. Because, Patricia, that is the only fucking border over which you have any control. You are a Rhode Island state representative. So I know you're not trying to tell me that you're protecting me from the southern border, right? Also, side note, am I missing like a large group of Mexican immigrants that have been like paddling up the coast being like, no, I don't want any of them southern states. I want it where the winter is brutal and bitter and the racism is right out there just lurking beneath the surface of all the Black Lives Matter, white silence equals violence signs. I'm sorry. I work in a neighborhood and live in another neighborhood where every neighbor likes to have a Black Lives Matter sign up, which is interesting to me because it kind of seems like Black Lives Matter, but not enough to rent to them.
Ooh.
So it's very sweet that all of the Eastsiders have, you know, Black Lives Matter signs up. It kind of means fuck all when you've gentrified the entire section of the city that used to be specifically for immigrants. But sorry about that. You know, you guys aren't ready for that one. But border security, I'm really confused as to, do you have a big problem with this? I mean, you're on the water, right? Well, like, do you have a?
Yeah. I mean, but we don't have Cubans washing up in boats on you know, Matuna Beach. I mean, it just is not happening here. I will say, I'm sick of the Connecticut tourists and the New York tourists that come here every summer. I live in a very tourist-heavy area, and every other house is a renter from or owned by somebody from New York or Connecticut. So, yeah, if we can make them go away, I'd be happy.
Exactly.
They're terrible drivers.
Exactly. We have a few more, but the last two are my favorite in conjunction with each other because it's just a fucking, she's an idiot. She wants to lower property taxes, of course. And now these two bullet points are one right after the other, without a fucking shred of self-awareness, okay? Halt the costly mandates of the climate agenda, followed by defend the sanctity of life.
Oh my God.
Just so long as it's not like, you know, ocean life or wildlife or it's human life, if we're considering the fact that like Rhode Island is gonna be underwater any fucking decade now. But the fact that she can put halt the costly mandates of the climate agenda immediately, I feel like that what I would prefer the anti-choice people to do would be to make clear who they're trying to defend, right? Defend the sanctity of unborn life. Okay, because these people have made it abundantly clear that once those fetuses turn into actual fucking babies, you're on your own.
Exactly. Like, this whole episode could be titled, Fuck the Kids, right? Because, I mean, really.
It should just be the... No, of course, now we're doing it. Now we're doing it.
Awareness that we can't enact any climate policies, but fuck the kids with asthma at 10 times the normal rate that live down by the Port of Providence. Fuck them, right, Patricia? Fuck the climate deal, right? Fuck giving them a nice, clean, healthy neighborhood with breathable air. Fuck that, am I right, Patricia?
How are we going to pull ourselves up? Of life? How are we going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps when our boots have melted off because the floor is literally lava now? Like, what's the plan here, guys?
Yeah. What do you plan on doing? We're just going to kick the can down the road and you know, hope for the best. But God forbid you pay an extra 10 cents in taxes.
Yeah, God forbid indeed. So one more thing that I do want to make sure we cover, and I mentioned this, Brian Newberry texted me and called me out on what I thought was him walking on the minimum wage vote. He said, I was in Boston for work. I did the proxy vote 1 week. I missed this year due to a stupid COVID quarantine and decided it wasn't worth my time. I voted against it and often debated on the floor every minimum wage bill in committee and on the floor for 13 years. No one has any doubt where I stand on it. And what I said to him was, I honestly like doing corrections on the pod because people will know that they can trust us, right? Like, I will even let you know when I'm wrong, which is my fucking least favorite thing in the whole world. But I'm doing it now. Yeah. And Jen, you were right, because when I said it, you were like, are you sure he wasn't just absent that day? And I was like, fuck him. He knew what day it was. It was minimum wage day.
I remember asking that, and you were like, you know what day. He knew what day that was. He didn't show up on purpose. And I was like, well, maybe he just wasn't there for reasons.
No, you're right.
So I'm glad. Yep. Nice.
Doesn't it feel way more delicious than hearing that I'm wrong? Who gives a fuck that I'm wrong? You're right. That's the part that matters.
I know. It makes me happy.
So apologies to Brian Newberry, who, again, still fully against the minimum wage raise, very clear on that. And that was why he didn't feel like he needed to go do it again. So more power to you.
That works.
Right. So we do have some good news updates, right? So a few weeks ago, we mentioned that our dear friend Senator Jeanine Cawkin was having some real serious health issues. She's back in the game enough to be texting, laughing, responding to people. I'm sure her husband Daniel is having to fight her to not try and work from her recovery room. And even literally like in a hospital bed, this bitch still ranked number two. Ah, nailed it, Jeanine.
Always.
Nailed it. So do we have any, we don't have any plugs this week, do we? Hello. So we're going to start putting up categories and nominees on the Patreon, patreon.com/canwefixit. First of all, your suggestions so far have been fucking amazing. Huge shout out to J. Mark Ryan and Linda Ujifuza, patrons and former guests of the show who came up with some amazing lists. Huge shout out to Hi Guy, who, like, we definitely stole some of those ideas. They're definitely going to be categories. And as we mentioned in the previous pod, as we get closer to, we are going to have, we're going to have all the nominees laid out for you, and you, the patrons, are going to be the ones who get to vote on the winners of these awards. So
I love this.
I know this is getting like really like, I'm so excited about this finally, like, once it finally happens, because we're really putting a lot into this, and like, we hope that you guys enjoy it as much as we're enjoying putting it together. So patreon.com/canwefixit. Please feel free to contribute or become a patron today. We got to buy Jenna mic. We need to get this lady sound in hindsight. And as always, stay safe, wash your hands, get a fucking vaccine. You're not smarter than a doctor, and no punching your neighbors.